Blog Talk Radio.
Here on UWC Radio, we're here with Sonia, with Angelica,
PD Jello,
and we have Chaz on here joining with us.
Hey, what's up, guys? El Agua Man in the house.
Aquaman. Agua. Agua Man.
Yo.
Let's say that right.
Say Agua, because then, you know, that Jason Momoa guy, I don't want him knocking on my door and trying to get an autograph or anything, you know? So we got to say Aquaman, so that it's a little different.
At least you'll probably be able to beat him up. I don't think he can wrestle.
No, he's so nice. I mean, everything he's ever posted has been like, I've enjoyed it.
That's right.
We would just maybe get lunch or something. I don't know. Talk about stuff. Yeah. But everything I've seen, you know, everything I've seen him in has. And I'm going to be honest, this is going to trip some people out. I've never even seen the movie Aquaman.
I've seen the first one.
Maybe it could be a stunt double.
I know, right? He could be my stunt double, yeah.
My dad was a double with me.
Yeah, huh? Because your dad was a stuntman, a wrestler, and he was a TV personality. He kept getting out there,
yeah.
So like I said last week, I was looking a little bit.
Yeah,
there.
He did a few movies.
And do you remember? So I mean, I guess like, should we do any little intro? I'm not too sure. I mean, the intro already happened, but we're just gonna. I guess I'm the guest today, guys. I just found out, so the ratings are gonna skyrocket right now. I'm sure. You know, the ratings are just gonna pop up now that I said that. And so, I mean, we could talk about whatever. I'm down. Right now I'm actually on my way to Lucha Vavoom. It's one of these, if you haven't heard about it, it's one of these top, in my opinion, top four wrestling shows in Southern California, probably even beyond that. But I've had my eye on the scene for a good 10 years, and I've been kind of watching and learning. And so, yeah, these are the four top companies, in my opinion. PCW, they run out of Wilmington. They have a show coming up. I don't know the date. Lucha Vavoom is here today at the Mayan Theater. PWG runs out of the Globe, not too far from there. And then you have the guys that are coming up that are the newest, RGR. They're the best lucha company here in Southern California. I've worked for them a few times. It's been fun. But right now it's like, I mean, that's where I'm headed right now, to Lucha Vavoom. Going to put in a little work there. I'm not wrestling today. I will be kind of doing a lot of everything else, though. And so I'm just chilling right here at the parking spot. Well, no, I just got my Starbucks, and I'm going to get me a little parking spot there, and we'll chop it up.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, what made you get into wrestling?
Oh, okay. I'm going to keep a long story short. You know, I just watched it as a kid. I came across it. It's funny that I'm the opposite of you, because my dad didn't like it. You know, like, my dad came up in El Salvador, a whole different world. His thing was soccer. I don't think he'd ever even seen wrestling before till I started liking it. And he would walk by and watch it and be like, oh, that, you know, he'd make fun of it or whatever. But, you know, so it's like the opposite of you, where your dad was actually doing it and, you know, bringing you guys along on the adventure. My dad wanted me to play soccer, and I did, and I had fun. And I got to say, probably my legs are really strong to this day because of those first 5-6 years of me as a kid playing soccer. But I could have fun playing soccer, but it's never been my passion like it was his. My dad loved soccer. Like, he was about to go pro, in El Salvador until the civil war broke out, and it pretty much, you know, there's a war going on. It's kind of tough to do these extracurricular things. So
yeah,
he took his ass, he got the hell out of there and came here, and, you know, I'm very grateful for everything. But at the same time, he was not like, he didn't really like wrestling at all. So I just stayed with it, you know. I was thinking about it, you know, like, you know, I did get made fun of because I went to a school in a small town, and it was a small school for a small town. So, you know, I got made fun of for liking wrestling. I guess it was not the mainstream thing at the moment when I was coming up in the early 90s. But there was one guy. What's up?
I was just going to ask, what year was it when you
I probably started watching wrestling in 1989, and one of the first guys I remember is Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, Roddy Piper, those guys. And all those guys that I just listed were like great personas. And I read, I read Hulk Hogan's autobiography that came out way back ago, and it was okay. It was a WWE-produced type of book. And I could go for a second reading, I guess. But the one that really got me was Roddy Piper's book. That one, I learned a lot from that book. He wrote it himself. He wasn't under contract, so he was able to tell the truth about some things. And I learned some stuff from him that I still use to this day in the ring. But the guy that really made me say, hey, I'm going to be a wrestler, I remember the moment when that thought occurred to me. I was 11 years old. I was in my room. And I opened up a magazine that I went and I guess I had a subscription or something at Once Upon a Time. And Bret Hart was doing the bull horns on the second rope, looking out to the audience. That shot was the thing that made me say, I want to be like that guy. I had been watching him, but he wasn't my favorite. But for some reason, like, I saw that picture and then I kind of started getting his vibe, like the things he would do in the ring, the way he would go about wrestling different guys. It was not the same match. Every time it was different matches that he was, you know, he was doing something that I couldn't identify at the time. But now as a professional who does this, the thing that I can try to identify it as being is that he would look at a guy and figure out what's the best way to go about it with this guy, with his look, with his body, with his size, with his character. I think that was the thing about Bret Hart, that every match I watched of his gave me a different story. It wasn't the same old, same old. Before him, it was Hulk Hogan, but Hulk Hogan isn't one who inspired me to be a wrestler. I just really loved Hulk Hogan as a kid. And with Hogan, you know, in America, he did what works. You see his Japan stuff, and, man, that guy could get down, and he would get down with some names in Japan. So he would do the technical stuff. He would move fast, you know. He had a lot of variety in those matches. But in America, I mean, his thing was, I'm a patriot. I'm here to kick some ass. I am going to, you know, suffer a little bit, but then I'm going to come back and finish you. And that was his story, which was a great story, by the way. I mean, I still think it's awesome. Cool little basic story. It's easy to take in. But with Bret, it was something different every time, just the different moves he would do, the different little things you'd see him try. Even later into his career, he was still being experimental and putting in new moves and taking new moves and things like that. So yeah, that's pretty much that moment when I looked at that magazine, I literally remember thinking as an 11-year-old, I'm going to be a wrestler. And so that's, 27 years ago. So here we are.
That's awesome.
Here we are with you doing it.
Hulk Hogan was one of my favorite too, and then like his music reminds me of childhood.
I know. Sometimes I'll just play it right here, you know. It's a great song.
Yeah.
Real American.
Yeah.
That's
that one and my
right
dad.
Dad
dude. Those always take me back.
Which was your dad's song?
I just played a Hulk Hogan song just to hear it in the song. It's like my RSS song. I'll be playing that song.
Nice. Which song was it? Your dad's.
American.
Oh, he would use that one too.
No. My dad would do one called Bad Dude.
Bad Beat?
Bad Dudes.
Bad Dudes. Okay.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It was cool. I like that song.
I know that song.
Yeah, no, I think it was just made for them. I don't think it's an actual song.
If you haven't sent it to me, I'd like to, oh, no?
Yeah, it's on his, like, it's on his videos, like, he's still playing, like, and that song will take me back, I guess. You know, there's no song that I heard more than that one back then.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Because you were at the shows regularly, huh?
Yeah, me and Peter were always at them. Peter was more than me because, I'm younger than him, but me and him were always usually with him. We always had to be sitting in the crowd, and we couldn't say that we were his children.
Yeah, because he would heal it up.
I don't want to have to hear that today.
That's the thing. Like, I don't think many people understand that, but when you're a heel, like, your family has to pretend they're not related to you because the audience, depending on how much they believe the character and how much they hate the character, they might actually, like, target family
exactly.
or something like
yeah,
that. So,
Sometimes the wrestler's acting is just so good where you're like, oh,
I hate them.
I want to be.
Yes, that's what I think modern wrestling, well, I don't want to say all across the board, but from my, you know, from the areas I'm in, there, I can't really think of a guy that people actually just, they hate him. It's more, it's like a cool thing to be a heel now, but back in the day, if you were a heel, you weren't going to be out there at the meet and greet. You weren't going to be selling your merch because nobody's going to buy your merch. They hate you. That's
my
the emotional tone that they used to.
Yeah.
You know, I used to play heel. I barely even have a character now. I just kind of go out there and I do my thing and I interact. But
you're just Uncle Chad now.
Yeah, or Alagua Man.
Alagua Man.
Whichever. I mean, I have three characters, and the way I have them is set up is, okay, this is like a kid-friendly show, here's how we'll play it. Okay, this is an adult show, here's how we'll play it. Okay, this is more of a technical wrestling fan show, let's do it. Or this is a lucha show, let's do it. That's kind of how I play my character. Like, but I don't ever really play heel, and I don't really, like, I used to play heel all the time in the beginning of when I started. Back in 2013-14, I was playing heel. So, and it is fun. But I don't think I ever would got that reaction your dad did, throwing tortillas out and saying, feed your kids, you know? I never got that
hateful. Yeah, no, people used to get so mad they hated him. Like, that's why, they would get angry, and he loved it. He says that you get more attention with them being mad at you than you do with them loving you.
Isn't that true? I mean, I think in general, that's true in life, you know?
Yeah,
people will, like, if you can get them.
People rather complain than say something good about somebody.
I know. That's why I try my best to kind of switch it up a little bit. And I try to go out of my way to say nice things. But, you know, I think it balances things out. But the truth is that, you know, that's why when a guy is a really good heel, when he becomes a face for some reason or another, people are ready to embrace that guy so much. Like, say, like Roddy Piper. That's a good example of a guy who was really hated, and he'd been stabbed, and you know, people were actually assaulting him because of which one.
Yeah, that's crazy though. Like, I don't know. I've always
Ric Flair's another.
Yeah, Ric Flair. Yeah, I hated Ric Flair. Now I like him because like I understand his character now. When I was younger, I hated him so much, and I was afraid of the Ultimate Warrior.
Well,
my dad
you,
would see me. He's like, "I'm gonna go take you to see him."
Si te portas mal, hija, ahí te voy a dejar con ese güey. Te voy a dejar con ese si te portas mal. You ever hear that one? That was funny. I used to hear that one sometimes. And then it's Ultimate Warrior. Then they leave you with Ultimate Warrior.
He used to beat up Jello with a Goldberg doll.
Undefeated streak continues.
It was so funny. She hated Goldberg for a long time.
Because of that thing? That's funny.
He's my enemy.
Traumatized by the Goldberg.
Okay,
let's
I gotta
set up
play
the match,
commercial
then.
In 1 minute, and then we'll come back after the commercial. For
cool.
Paul Soto.
Paul's Photo is your local camera store, no matter where you live. In Torrance at Hawthorne and Pacific Coast Highway, or online at paulsphoto.com, we've got the cameras and video gear that you need to slam your next assignment, your next vacation, your next job, or just your next party. We've got the expert advice to help you, the budding wrestler and creator, to make amazing videos, to get recognized on YouTube. Our classes at Creative Photo Academy will help you rock it. They'll get you the knowledge you need and inspire you to be a top 10 performer. Even the Hulk loves to come here and get his photos processed in the lab, where we can scan old photos and videos, get them to you online, and help preserve your memories. Paul's Photo is the greatest place to get your photos taken care of.
All right, so we're back now. That was commercial for Paul's Photos. This is UWC Radio, and it's me, your host, Sonia, with Angelica.
Hey, Sonita.
And our guest and also co-host is Chaz. Uncle Chaz.
El Aguaman.
Ella had a good
Chaz
question for you.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Chaz, what inspired your characters that you play with in the film?
Especially Aguaman.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. That's so funny. I've never been asked that as far as, like, with Aguaman included. Okay, the first character I played wasn't even as a pro. It was in a backyard. And, you know, I used to do backyard wrestling. And I know that once upon a time, all the pros would be like, that's a sin. How dare you ever think about going in a backyard and having fun with your friends? And they have to say that because if anybody ever got hurt, a pro would be held responsible if they're like, go to the backyard and jump off the roof. You know what I mean? So they have to say that stuff, I felt. But I bet you all the guys that told me that stuff were in the backyard at some point too. And,
yeah.
I mean, even that was, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, who doesn't? At some point,
yeah.
Whether you watch wrestling or not, you're going to rough house with your brother or sister or friends in,
exactly.
In a living room or... You know, we all will do it.
Yeah.
Wrestling just gives it a
story. Even if you're not going to wrestling, you still fight them.
What's that?
I said, even if you're not going to wrestling, you still fight your siblings.
Yeah. I mean, it's a normal thing, sibling rivalry, you know?
Yeah.
It is. It's true. I mean, that's a real thing. I used to have it with my brother. Now we are not. And my sister, too. We used to have, like,
yeah,
used
to
with my brother,
with
the physical stuff. Well, that, you know,
I had to put my sister in her place a few times. I'm just kidding.
Well, yeah, I've been put in my place. I can't ever say that I beat my brother up. I tried.
Was he older?
But as kids, yeah, he was like just a year and a half older. But as kids, he was much bigger than me, and you know, I deserved it.
Yeah.
I mean, looking back,
yeah,
without a doubt, I deserved it because. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I was a bigger sister, so yeah,
no,
I probably understand where your brother's coming from.
Right? Yeah, because
yeah.
The younger ones, I don't know. It's true, though, I see it as a trainer. Like, sometimes I got to correct the heck out of some guys, and some guys are like, you know what, thank you, and they apply what I tell them. And then other guys
mm-hmm.
can be like, I'm going to do, you know, I'm going to do whatever I want still. Like, thanks for your input, but I'm going to do what I want still. And then that's when you got to be a little more like tough love with these guys. Cause that's
yeah.
pretty much my thing. Like in my realm, I am about tough love. I am about being forward with my students. I am not about like, I need your money. That's why I do what I do the way I do it, because I have such low overhead that if a student, you know, starts pretty much, you know, I want to work with the guys that want to do this because they love it. I've had people come to me
yeah.
because they want to be on like some bigger shows. Like
yeah.
right off the bat, they want to be celebrities. After training a week, they want to be on TV as a wrestler, like wrestling with top talent. It's not going to happen in 1 week.
Yeah, some people
and
think
they get
it's
frustrated
an instant
because, well,
success.
It's a what?
Some people think it's like that they're going to get instant gratification by just training. They think they're so great that they're
yeah.
just going to be right then.
It comes down to just like this idea, and it's like Karate Kid in a way. By the way, I love Karate Kid. It's a fun movie, and I
yeah.
know that the new series is pretty cool. I saw the first season when they let me get YouTube Red for free for getting the season for free if I got YouTube Red, and like 5 years later I still have YouTube Red, but I haven't watched the new seasons. I enjoyed that. I enjoy it, but what they did in that movie is they made it seem like I watched every single movie, even the one that they didn't like with Hilary Swank. I liked it.
Oh, I hate that one. I was gonna say even the girl.
Yeah, even the girl one. I mean, I don't know though. Like, I think, I like Rocky V a lot, and that's one that a lot of people say, "Oh, that one sucked." But I like that one a lot for different reasons, and so yeah. I mean, but I watched all the Karate Kids. The thing though is that there's no way Daniel-san, who just moved into Reseda, is gonna ever defeat Johnny, who is, even with Johnny playing with him like that in the final round, there's no way he's gonna get one over
right?
on him training 3 months.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I always thought that too.
There was no way. That was freaking fraud. Miyagi had to steal a belt to get.
Yeah, I go for Johnny any day. Johnny Lawrence any day.
Right? You know, now that, like, when you think about it,
it's funny because it's like, how would you feel? Like, you've been training you've been putting your life into training, and for this moment, and then this newbie comes that's been training for 2 weeks, knocks you out, and wins the championship. I would be pretty mad too. And everybody's all upset with the Karate Kid. That's whack.
Well, it's a good story about a young man getting taken advantage of by a. The guy got taken advantage of by the sensei to do all these evil things, you know.
Kreese, you can't stand Kreese, man. Have you watched Cobra Kai?
Have I what?
Cobra Kai.
He said he only watched first season.
But I love Kreese.
No, it's good.
Funny enough, I actually like Kreese.
The last season was not bad.
All right, so we got off topic there. I do really want to know how you came up with the Agua Man.
I didn't even want to do it. I mean, for years, I'm not one of these people who says this all the time, because I know there's people who have to tell you this, but I don't, this is probably the third time I say this. I've never watched an episode of Game of Thrones. And like I said earlier, I've never watched Aquaman. So anyway, around 2015, I had just person upon person say, "You know who you look like?" And I'd be like, no. Oh, this Khal Drogo. Oh, all right, cool. And about the fifth time I heard that, I was like, I'm going to Google this guy. Did not see the resemblance whatsoever. Khal Drogo's got, the mascara and everything. And my hair, I don't, you know what I mean? He had that look. I don't see the resemblance. And then later,
Aquaman,
you know who you look like? That's what I kept hearing after. You know, so I resisted that a lot, because I'm like, no, if you see my original Chaz, I don't think there's anybody you could say that guy looks like that. But then I grew my hair out and my beard, and then all of a sudden, here I am looking like Jason Momoa. So I
for the very first Pistol Pete Memorial Championship wrestling show, my brother was the one, he was like, Aquaman. He was all saying that too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's so funny. But yeah,
Michael
was
saying
it many times. I think and how did I come up with it? Well, the first time I wore the outfit was a Halloween show, and here's how that went down. Because there's this gear maker named Ultimo Imperio, and that guy makes some pretty sweet gear. I mean, I just went to his place maybe 2 days ago to get some new gear made. But I was backstage one time with him after a show, and we were chatting, and he's like, in Spanish, he says, "You know what you should do?" And I said, "What?" "You should go with this Aquaman thing, because the Mexican audiences are going to take you in. They're ready to take you in with something like that. They like you, but is what's going to put you just a little beyond them just looking at you as a generic character in their eyes, because I tend to flub up my Spanish promos once in a while. In English, I won't. The words come to me like nothing, but in Spanish, which funny enough is my first language, those words, they sometimes get stuck on one syllable, so I'll stutter. And, I'm working on it more by just But anyway, he's like, this is what's going to move you beyond being just a generic character that does, like, lucha and this and that. So I said, no way. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to get a costume like that. It's going to pigeonhole me. I'm going to feel like I stole a character from another guy. I don't like it.
Yeah.
The original Chaz Herrera character is something that I don't think happens very much in wrestling. But I just couldn't keep playing it because it didn't fit where I was going in my style or in terms of my my size, my presence. It didn't fit that character anymore. I outgrew that character. Don't get me wrong. I still love that character. I would use it again at a kid show, something like that. But I had to leave that character behind. I kind of created a few other characters of that style. And to sum it up, it was a nerd. Like, he was some attorney nerd guy. And I found different applications and how you could.
Is that the four-year suspenders?
Yes, exactly. And I wore the goggles.
Yeah,
I wore the goggles. I wore suspenders. I would come out originally as a manager, so that's kind of how I got comfortable in front of audiences. I was already kind of comfortable, but that's how I got comfortable as that character in front of audiences, is that I was the mouthpiece for guys that, you know, some of them could cut good promos, some of them couldn't. No matter what, you'd get like a fiery sort of high-pitched, shrivel voice nerd guy with like squirrely motions from what I was doing that could tell a story. But with that said, when the Ultimo Imperio said, you should do this Aquaman thing, I said, nah, I'm good. The next day, he sends me a picture, and he's already made the gear. Like, the very next day, he's like, look, it's almost done.
Oh, wow, really?
A few more things, but what do you think? Yeah, and so I was like, well, you know, it's nice of him to be encouraging, so I'll pay him for the gear. I didn't really order it, but I like the fact that he had it ready the next day. Let's play with this. Halloween was coming up. And so anyway, bam.
It was just perfect timing for the costume.
That's it. It's all it was. It's because of the costume. Because Ultimo Imperio said, hey, how about this?
And then ever since I started seeing you wrestle and every time, the women just love you, Uncle Chaz.
Oh,
they go berserk for you.
I know. I've seen a few girls drooling over you before. I was dying laughing. You can see it in their faces.
And since now you're going with the Aquaman, they're going to blow their mind.
Yeah. You should pour a bottle of water on yourself. No, just kidding.
That's not a bad idea. But you know what? Ultimo Imperio was...
Don't start throwing the dollar bills.
Ooh.
You got to learn how to pick them up with everything
all
but
right.
your hand.
Well, let me tell you, I am on Vavoom, which is an adult show. It's 21 and over. I'm on their shows in Vegas next in April. So maybe I'll do something like that. I got new gear being made for those events.
It's a wrestling, adult wrestling show?
Yeah, like the one that I'm at right now, they're going to go to Vegas in April. And I'm right here, like, in downtown L.A., just kind of parked in one of these parking structures. And
well, I'm sure all those ladies that are drooling for you would love to go see that.
Well, you know what?
Please, hear them now, ladies. Uncle Chaz is doing a 21-plus show in April.
He might do something straight for a piece of change. Just kidding.
I wrestled for them in Cinco de Mayo last year, right before I moved to Utah, because I moved to Utah for a little while. And you ladies are not lying, because I was healing it up. That's the one. And this is more of a fun crowd. They're not over here, like, trying to stab you. They like the whole, you know, I'm going to say this. This show is produced by a wonderful woman. She's so creative. And because of that, it's not just lucha. It is a variety show. So we have, I think, a contortionist doing a musical act. She shot a dance act. And it tripped me out because they do two shows back to back. So I was here yesterday, too. Lady was doing a handstand, and she bridged her feet pretty much so that her feet are almost touching the top of her head. And she took a friggin' bow and arrow and hit a bullseye with her feet. Oh, my goodness. That tripped me out. And that's how they opened the show.
I saw that on Instagram.
That's the one. Yes, that tripped me out. Yeah, I got this. I was standing, if you go back to that video, maybe you'll see me, because I was standing maybe like 7-8 feet away from her, from the stage she was on. And so, but I was wearing all black. I was trying to hide, you know.
No,
I was trying to hide.
That's crazy, though, the way that, yeah, I saw
that.
That
they do.
I can't even do that with my hand.
I know, me either. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to. Maybe I could with some practice, but at this moment, no way. I wouldn't. I don't want to say no way. For all I know, maybe I'm a natural, but I don't think I could necessarily do a bull. I wouldn't be disappointed if it was not a bullseye right now, because I haven't worked. But that lady hit a bullseye with her feet bridged over her head.
That's so crazy.
And that's just one of the many, because Liz, the lady who runs this show, she'll bring different acts. People who do trapeze.
That sounds good. I kind of want to see that. And when are they going? Are there some here right now, right?
Yeah, they're here right now. I wish I would have known. I would have gotten you both in, because I have. There are times when I have access to some free tickets here and there. So when Baboom is in town, if I can, I will give these away. I did a raffle for my show that I was on last Cinco de Mayo. And that was a trip because I was a heel. So I did get that audience booing, but they didn't hate me. This is more of a fun-loving crowd. This is not a crowd that you want to bring a political character or something like that, but or really, get them angry. But I was just doing my thing. You know, I was walking around. I was like, I'm hotter than all you guys in here. All you ladies want me, blah, blah, blah. All this, you know, just the stuff that I was healing it up. So flipping people off for the first time in years, because I don't really do that as a character. And, doing that whole little chin thing where you kind of, screw you with your hands. Like, on
your
chin.
Oh, yeah, you rub your fingers?
And it's cool because, And it's cool because the lights are bright. It's a big production. It's a wonderful production. It's not like most wrestling shows. They've been around for over 20 years. So I could only hear boos, but couldn't even see who was booing because the lights were so bright. It's kind of interesting. It's been a while since I had that. I had that when I was wrestling in Fresno a few years ago, but it was a fun experience. And like you said, like Jello pointed out, I rolled out the ring, after my match, to go to the back, and I never got into wrestling to get girls or anything, but there was girls there was one girl that literally just kind of fell into my arms as I was walking. And she tried not to leave my arms. And that was an interesting experience because, you know, I try to stay away from all that as a professional, you know. But, yeah, that girl was like, I'm pretty sure I could have. Well, something like that. I don't know. I didn't push it, though, because it's just I tend to be more like I try to keep that separate from wrestling, you know what I mean, as much as I possibly can.
Yeah.
It would have to be, I don't want to talk about this too much, but yeah, that's kind of what happened. And it doesn't happen any time because here at Vavoom, there are more women in the audience than men. This is the only show that I see that. More women than men, these shows, as fans.
That's crazy.
I'm excited.
I never see more women than men.
I know, right? And you would know. You've been going for a long time. But in my 10 years, I only this is the only show that I have ever seen that happen. I'm sure there's others that I don't know about, but here in SoCal, usually it's like a male-dominant audience.
Yeah.
Or families, that's the other one. Families, that's the ones that I like to work for the most, actually.
I like the family ones. I like the family ones there, too, because I don't like seeing too much blood and like, you know, when they really get hurt, I don't like seeing that.
I remember the first Pistol Pete Memorial show that I did for I didn't know anybody except Favi, so I didn't know you guys yet. I didn't really know Pistol. I didn't know the whole history, so I learned over time. But I was a little surprised because I had worked at that Metroflex for another company before, and that company is known as UEW, Underground Empire Wrestling, and that's all they did. I don't want to say that's all. They had some matches here and there, but, let's say you have 8 matches on the show, 7 of them are going to involve you know, barbed wire and all this, and guys are going to bleed, and even girls are going to bleed. You know, there's a girl I like, I watched, she kind of came out of, in a way, she used to work with them, and now she's doing her own thing with her husband. Her name is Sage Sin, who I'm a fan of. I saw her and her husband are now doing Crimson Crown Wrestling. That's the name of their company. I don't know how they put it, but from my understanding, they left UEW and started their own thing with a similar vibe. And so their vibe is like deathmatch, hardcore, that kind of stuff. I was at the last show that they did just to watch, just to say what's up to the peeps, meet some new people, and, you know, enjoy the show. And I watched Sage wrestle. She wrestled a guy whose name I don't remember because he's not from L.A. I know they flew him in. But it tripped me out, man. This girl does all that stuff that you just said that you don't like to see. And she does not shy away from things like light tubes and barbed wire and thumbtacks. And it just trips me out that this is like, you know, I saw her when she first started training. I remember her. Back in like 2000, I think 12 or 11. And it's interesting to see somebody, you know, outside of that doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because... you know, she's not, she's a nice girl, you know?
Yeah, it makes me feel like, I don't know, when I see that, it hurts me, you know? Like, I feel the pain.
Yes. Yes. Well, you're sensitive that way. For some people.
Yeah.
This is why I'm not a huge fan of, like, horror films that are too violent, because like, I'll see the gore and I'll be like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I see the gore and I'll be like, that doesn't make me feel good. Suspense is cool. Action is cool. But yeah, like when I watched her, for some reason, I was actually enjoying watching her do it. Though I typically am not a huge fan of deathmatch either. But just because I know her, that's the thing in my mind that was like, whoa, I can't believe she's doing this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, no one's pressuring her to do it. She wants to do it. You know, her uncle, there was some relation there. It could be. Some people are like that. I used to be like that. And then that part of me is like little by little kind of slipping away. Yeah. I don't want to suffer too much without a good reason. Back in the day.
We're
going to
take a quick break for this commercial again for Paul's Photo.
Nice.
Paul's Photo is your local camera store no matter where you live. In Torrance at Hawthorne and Pacific Coast Highway or online at paulsphoto.com, we've got the cameras and video gear that you need to slam your next assignment, your next vacation, your next job, or just your next party. We've got the expert advice to help you, the budding wrestler and creator, to make amazing videos, to get recognized on YouTube. Our classes at Creative Photo Academy will help you rock it. They'll get you the knowledge you need and inspire you to be a top 10 performer. Even the Hulk loves to come here and get his photos processed in the lab, where we can scan old photos and videos, get them to you online, and help preserve your memory. Paul's Photo is the greatest place to get your photos taken care of.
All right, we're back from the commercial break from Paul's Photo. It's UWC Radio. I'm your host, Sonia, with Angelica and Taz.
Mm-hmm. Here we are. Hell yeah.
Okay, Chaz. Well, like, do you have any, like, of your favorite moment, like, moments of wrestling? Or did you have, like, moments where, like, man, that was such a good match. Like, I just, like, it just went perfect.
Well, I can never say it's perfect because, but yeah, I do have some things that came to mind. So I'll give you a quick timeline of my whole wrestling involvement. I'm going back quite a ways back to when I saw that picture. So I was a fan, and then I got into this like play-by-mail wrestling thing. It's probably some dude in his mom's basement, but that guy got me having an imagination of like wrestling and putting the shows together, putting the moves together. So I was sending him my lunch money for about a year. he would send now you have the internet, so you can do it easily. It's on your phone. You can just bam. But this dude was doing that same thing that you would do in a forum through mail. So a bunch of people would send them their ideas or whatever, and he would put together the story on a newsletter that he would send to all the guys back. So that was His name was Johnny B, and it was called Imaginary Wrestling Association. It was something I read in a magazine on Pro Wrestling Illustrated or something, and I wrote in, and bam, I started sending this guy all my lunch money and starving, and my imagination was on overdrive. So it was worth it. And then after that, I started the backyard wrestling thing, which it doesn't require, you know, it doesn't require anything. You just go to a backyard and pretty much you're playing with your friends. That's how I see it now. But we took that playing with our friends kind of far. Yeah, we took that playing with our friends kind of far. Like, we ended up on the news, on TV, MTV, magazines, things like this. The thing that I was on was True Life. I'm a backyard wrestler, and that's on YouTube. I guess it was one of the highest rating ones. It was one of the highest rated True Life in history because it was at the time when – this is before your time, Della. You weren't even born yet. But what it was that the news, Fox News or UPN, they kept going to these backyards and filming these guys doing crazy stunts, jumping off roofs, going through tables, hitting their friends with bats that were covered in barbed wire that were set on fire, that weird kind of crazy stuff. And it was a bunch of 14 to 17-year-olds doing this. And they started making it seem like it's an epidemic. It could be in your backyard or whatever. So there was a lot of attention.
I remember that.
Yeah. This was before Jello was even born. But
yeah.
Then we ended up on MTV, True Life, I'm a Backyard Wrestler. If you look that up on YouTube, I'm the dude with the mask on who forfeits the match. It was a funny story. It was just teenage drama, but yeah, I guess that was a really high rated one. So anyway, I kind of left wrestling behind for a little bit, not as a study. I would study it still. I wouldn't watch as a fan anymore. I would study it. And you know, like some of my favorites were Too Cold Scorpio, Yoshihiro Tajiri, Rey Mysterio Jr. You know, I even got into some of the guys that were coming up at the time, like Jimmy Yang Wang. Jimmy Yang Wang was a really good wrestler. I don't know what he's up to these days, I got into older stuff like Dynamite Kid, Johnny Saint, the British guys. I kept studying it, but I kind of left it behind due to personal reasons. And then at some point when I was like 23, I found this school that was running by a guy that was in a company called XPW, and his name is Joey Chaos. I went and I signed up. His wife signed me up. Her name is Sylvia. And bam, I mean, I started with him in the backyard when I think I was in their second class ever. It was still in a backyard in Norwalk before they moved to the warehouse. Huh?
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have we could call that guest now Abdul. So we're gonna give him a call right now.
Okay.
This is my first time running the board, so let's see how. Probably I'm already doing better than Peter though, at least.
Let's check it out.
Oh man, this is my fault. Oh, I almost read his number out loud.
Give it to the people in case they have questions for him. Give it to the telemarketers in case he needs a warranty. Maybe he might need a warranty on his car insurance or on his car. You know?
Hello. Please state your name after the tone, and Google Voice will try to connect you. The Google subscriber you have called is not available. Please leave a message after the tone.
All right. Well.
Let's let him come another time because we're like 16 minutes off and it's been a little kind of funky trying to get him on. So let's just let him let's leave him on the bench for today. We'll get him on another time when he I don't know, we'll work the technical difficulties out and touch base another time with him.
Next week we're going to be having a tugboat.
Oh, my goodness. That's going to be fun.
Yeah. So that would be cool.
Tugboat / typhoon / the Shockmaster. I know
Hey,
Jess.
What's gotten you into training other people?
Well, I love this stuff so much. Speaking of where I was before at Santino's, I was there with them for a cool minute. And from 2009 on and off, and then at 2012, I stayed with them till about 2017, training there. And a good 3 years of that time, I was actually Joey just told me one day, hey, I really like the way you talk to students. I like how you can explain things well. Would you be open to training people? And I said, hey, man, if Joey, whose work I respect a lot, I mean, if you look up Joey Chaos, you'll see, like, you know, you'll see what I'm talking about. Joey's great in the ring. I know he's making a comeback right now with his own company. But anyway, when he told me that, I was like, well, if he's given me his blessing to do that, I'll run your classes. And that's how that went. And then I realized I had a passion for that too, because, you know, it's fun to, so anyway, as time has progressed, you know, you go from teaching people so that they can become part of, you know, like the Santino's umbrella. And then I started teaching at another place. The one girl who I mentioned last time named Zyra, who is now currently a student of Inoki. She's actually here at Lucha Baboom. She's performing tonight. But yeah, we had Durango Kid on last week. Zyra, I got her ready with basics, and then I gave her to Durango so he could polish her, which he's done a great job. And then I just said, you know what? I don't know why. Like, I can't figure out why. Okay, so then, so anyway, yeah, I just love training people. And now I'm seeing it happen, like, okay, you know, like, I'm just going to tell people, because there's people out there like me who didn't know where to go train. Okay, finally.
Sorry, like,
everything
and
I just
me,
said,
in fact,
long...
too. I went to you. I said, yes. I didn't know, like, when I wanted to start training, I didn't know where to go. And then I was like, hey, Uncle Chaz is really cool. Like, I should ask him. And then I just started training under you.
Yes. Yes, and the more the merrier, you know what I mean? Yeah, I'd love to see you more often. Come by, and we'll keep it going.
Yeah, I'll
probably
take her on Monday.
Heck yes. Bring her, and we'll be there at 6. Get there a little early just to get ready and stuff. We have a whole new crew. A lot of the guys that were with us when you were there with us are not with us anymore, and we got new guys too. So, like you said, you didn't know where to go. Like I mentioned earlier, my dad was not a fan of this stuff. He did not want me doing wrestling. So he wasn't really like the type to be like, hey, I'm going to take you to that school in Anaheim, or, you know, I'm going to help you buy like anything for wrestling. He didn't. And I understand why. I can look back and understand why. Like, I can understand his perspective, but I felt that like, I wanted to provide that for whoever's out there, you know, who is wanting to do wrestling. I wanted to give them a chance to do it under my umbrella, which I feel. And it's not just me. It's me and Robbie Phoenix, who is my trainer. Joey had Robbie for 10 years at Santino's, and he was the one who was more hands-on with actually getting me ready to be in the ring. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Joey, because Joey taught me a lot as well. But Robbie's the guy that was really with the hands-on as far as, like, in the ring training me. Yes, I love Robbie. He's awesome. I have him, and so he's running with me, too. So it's usually it's both of us both days we're there. But every so often, he's got something that he needs to take care of, or I got something I need to take care of, so it's going to be one of us running it. I wanted to give that to whoever was in that position I was in when I didn't have anywhere that I could go to train. I do have a goal, and I don't like talking too much about stuff until it's in motion. This is not in motion, but I'd love to have a school like here, like in 5 different places, Just having people that I trust running them,
day-to-day,
or even going from one school in like I know there's a school in Oxnard run by the guys Hex Promotions, and I've worked for them quite a few times, especially during the pandemic. There's a school in San Bernardino known as EWF, School of Hard Knocks. There's Santino's as well. There's Inoki. Each one has really good strengths. And then, of course, like for me, I've always been about go as many places to learn after I learn my basics so I can understand, okay, here's how Durango teaches lucha libre. Here's how Acero Dorado teaches lucha libre. And it's different. It's lucha libre, but he's going to have his ways of doing some things, and then this guy's going to have his ways. Let's go learn some character work from this guy. Let's go learn some ring psychology from Shannon Ballard. Let's learn character from Jervis Belly.
It's like a recipe. You're learning it from a whole bunch of different chefs. The same meal, but from different chefs.
Yes. That made me hungry, actually, when you said it like that, because I just lifted weights and I need to – all I've had is one of the, like a protein cookie. But that's a good way to put it. And that's how I see it. Like there's a school in the Valley, MPW. They have their school. Different recipe. It's a recipe you're learning from different chefs, and there's endless amount of chefs out there. And so I've always – even like as a guy who's been doing martial arts or pro wrestling, I still listen to the new guys. When they have a good attitude, I'll listen to their ideas and – I'll be like, okay, I'm not going to just tell them you don't know what you're talking about because you're new. Because even as a blue belt, like, even as a beginner, right? I mean, a white belt doesn't have all the training. They're fresh off the street. So they're not, shall we say, like, stuck to doing things a certain way. So they can actually teach someone that's been around something.
Yeah.
And I firmly believe that. Like, everybody has something to offer. Of course. I'm not going to tell some dude how to, like, build a bridge because I've never studied that, you know. But when it comes to things like create, like, ideas, you know, for all you know, we do it the way this white belt just kind of imagined. Hey, we found out this thing does actually work, you know. So I feel the same way with.
Yeah, like, if I'm doing a move and I happen to mess up one thing and they're just like, oh, hey, your hand should be this placement, not that way, I'm going to take that advice because you should always take advice from everybody. You're always trying to learn from everybody because mixed martial arts is, and like wrestling, it's just you have to learn what works for you and how you want to portray that move and how it works best for you.
Exactly, because everybody is different. And so something that's perfect for somebody your size might cause a guy my size to get my back taken and choked out because I just don't have the flexibility or because I'm so big I can't move in smaller spaces like you can, you know.
We have a caller. I'm going to bring him in. Hello, caller.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
How's everybody?
Hello.
Good. How are you?
How's everybody tonight?
We're just chopping it up, you know. What's up, Manny? Yeah, you can recognize.
How's everybody tonight?
We're doing good. Just chilling.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate you all coming on tonight. You know?
What?
Absolutely.
I said, I appreciate you all coming on tonight.
Oh, no problem.
You know? Hey, so.
I mean, we'll be here.
Just a reminder that, we have WrestleCon March 30th. 31st through April 2nd in LA. It's a big convention that's happening. So UWC is going to be there with other wrestling companies and whatnot. And then we got Tugboat coming up next week. And then hopefully the following week we have Guyam up on the 26th, I believe.
Sounds like a great time.
Yes, we got some things coming up for next week and the following month. So, hope our fans out there will come out and then check us out and take pictures with our wrestlers and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds like it's going to be a
a great time.
Yeah, I was like, I'm really excited for this.
And,
plus, we have all April 30th.
Yes, we have our show April 30th. Hopefully, if everything works out right, we're going to try to bring my manager, my former manager and mentor, which was Mr. Mexico.
Oh, awesome.
So, yes. So hopefully, God willing, you know, he stays healthy. We'll be able to have him come over and say a few hi's and do some autographs for your dad, you know.
Yeah.
Your dad and Mr. Mexico and Mondo Guerrero is a big part of our lives.
Yeah.
You know. And hopefully we can get both of them in, Mr. Mexico and Mondo.
Yeah.
You know. And even Jesse Hernandez. I remember Jesse Hernandez a few times showing up, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my dad.
Oh, that would be fun. That would be like a deep dive into the history of your training, Manny, and then Pistol Pete's training, and kind of finding out what it was. You know, a few stories from that era.
Yeah, that's what I like.
Yeah.
That's what I like meeting the older wrestlers and new. Like actually talking to them now because I was little then, so talking to them now and then hearing stories about my dad is awesome.
Yeah, a lot of stories.
I
that's the thing about the veterans. They do have a lot of stories, and they have a lot
to
us. You can learn a lot.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So, like Manny said, we'll be here next Thursday as well, bringing UWC Radio back. Same time, same UWC time, same UWC channel. With Tugboat, which we mentioned earlier, you know, who also wrestled as Typhoon. I'm curious about all that. Like what stories he has.
I remember him as Tugboat. I didn't know he changed to Typhoon, though.
Yeah, that's when he was with Earthquake, which was funny to me as a kid because, like I said, you know, I would watch it on and off. So once upon a time, right, he was like a big monster. And once upon a time, you had Tugboat as Hulk Hogan's friend, and then you had Earthquake being, like, the worst guy to ever, you know, attack and try to destroy Hulkamania. But I stopped watching wrestling for a little bit, and then when I came back, now these two guys were, like, an attack team called the Natural Disasters, which watching the footage is great because those are two guys you can learn how to move like a big man from because they were both, I think, over 400 pounds each. At the time, if I'm not mistaken. So that's like almost half a ton between both of them.
Yeah. They're big men. I remember back in the days when I was training with Pistol Pete. He had this one big wrestler. He was like a country boy. But that man could move for his size. You know, he'd go in the ring barefoot, wear those long johns. Or what do you call it? Not long johns.
Overalls.
Overalls. There you go.
Was it
and
Dean?
He
Was it Dean?
No, it wasn't Dean. It was what's his name? It was
I know his name. Believe it or not, you're not gonna believe this, Manny. I went to sleep last night. The very last thing I did when I got home was get on YouTube and. I watched the match between Buddy Rogers versus Haystacks Calhoun. That's the guy you're talking about. No?
Yeah.
Haystacks Calhoun?
Yeah. I believe
that's
him.
The dude that was barefoot. He had, like, the beard but no mustache. He had kind of long hair. It's so funny you mentioned him because that's the guy I was watching last night versus Buddy Rogers. It's an old-school match.
Uh-huh.
Super old-school. I think it went down in, like, the 60s. I found some pretty cool channels recently showing the golden era of professional wrestling. You know, I just watched the matches randomly, but yeah, that was the one that I watched last night. It's so funny you bring them up today. Cool, man.
Uh huh. So how are we on time right now, Sonia?
We have 29 more minutes, but I booked it for the 90s.
Okay. Well, I got to get going. You know, thank you, everybody, for listening. Thanks for everyone coming on. You know, and Abdul, well, next time we'll get you. When you're not so busy.
We'll
know.
Next time.
But y'all have a good night. You be safe. And,
you too.
Yeah, yeah. Don't forget, we have a meeting on Saturday, so I'll see you guys Saturday.
All right.
Thank you guys for having me.
No problem.
Good night. Don't forget to play our sponsors one more time, please.
All right. I'll play it right now.
Thank you. Y'all have a safe night. Thank you very much.
Paul's Photo is your local camera store, no matter where you live. In Torrance at Hawthorne and Pacific Coast Highway or online at paulsphoto.com, we've got the cameras and video gear that you need to slam your next assignment, your next vacation, your next job, or just your next party. We've got the expert advice to help you, the budding wrestler and creator, to make amazing videos, to get recognized on YouTube. Our classes at Creative Photo Academy will help you rock it. They'll get you the knowledge you need and inspire you to be a top 10 performer. Even the Hulk loves to come here and get his photos processed in the lab, where we can scan old photos and videos, get them to you online, and help preserve your memories. Paul's Photo is the greatest place to get your photos taken care of.
That was our commercial for Paul's Photos. It's UWC Radio. It's me, Sonia, and Angelica, and we're with Chaz. Now it's time for my new segment. The only thing I got today is that Jerry Lawler had a stroke that was pretty bad, but he's okay. So that's awesome.
Damn.
It's crazy because all the people that we watched as kids and stuff are all like, just getting sick and all this is happening to them now. It's all sad. Like Hulk Hogan, like his legs aren't working right now.
Oh, because all those surgeries he's
had. Yeah. So sad.
Yeah. You know, it's part of the game, I guess, because.
Yeah.
I mean, it's part of the game. I mean, it's like natural. We see these guys put their bodies through all the crazy stuff. And also, it's just age as well. So, I mean, that's normal. I mean, I guess it's a little more normal into the 60s and 70s, 80s, but it's really tragic when it's guys in their 30s and 40s, you know? That's when it's like, man, that guy was still so young.
Like Owen
Hart.
So
hopefully Jerry Lawler makes a full recovery and is able to bounce back, you know?
Yeah, I hope
he's able to bounce back, and we'll see. I mean, I know, like Bret Hart had a stroke, too.
Oh,
way back in the day, of course.
Yeah, then his brother died a year or two ago. Natalia's dad.
Yeah, well, that was his brother-in-law because that was
his
sister married.
Oh.
Yeah, they were a tag team, and it's funny that I didn't remember him.
That's why I thought they were all brothers.
It seemed that way because well, his name was Neidhart. So it's not. I always thought, oh, it's a different. When I was a kid and I'd hear Neidhart, I thought it was like, oh, that's like one, that's like the mother's name, and then Hart is the father's name or something like that. I didn't realize it was just a different name, but it had Hart in there. So I'm like, oh yeah, they're brothers. And then Davy Boy Smith was also a brother-in-law of Bret. He married his sister as well, and then there was another wrestler too that married one of the Hart sisters. All of the Hart sisters married from Bret's lineage, from his siblings, married wrestlers, and then all the wrestlers, all the boys became wrestlers. But it was him and Owen that got they had that star power, you know. So
yeah,
they're the ones that came out on top more than every other brother. But
yeah,
hopefully Jerry does come back and he's good to go and to drawing pictures soon and making paintings. I know a guy, in fact, named Roberto Acevedo. He had a stroke a while back, and then he had a second one. And his way of rehabbing himself is he just took up a bunch of arts and crafts. We actually train at his spot. But, yeah, he took up a bunch of arts and crafts just to retrain his brain with new skills. And, you know, like
gradually rehabilitate himself. Like he showed me this miniature army truck that he made out of scratch. He went and bought the canvas. He went and put eyelets in the canvas. He tied the whole little canvas over the canopy over the back of the truck. He put on little chains. He souped up the tire.
Awesome.
Anyway, so he's just out there creating stuff with his hands so that he can like get his mind and his hands moving. And you couldn't tell he had he looks a lot better now. Put it that way.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be able to tell, you know, but I don't know. I'm not a stroke expert or anything like that, but
yeah.
I think that's
yeah. My dad had a few. That's unfortunately what caused his death.
I see. Yeah. I mean, it does. It takes its toll, even if you recover from it. You know.
Yeah. I mean, he's had a few. You know,
right,
it wasn't
ladies.
Really
well,
nice. It was just the effects of what happened to him. You know, like how it paralyzed his face.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to end this now.
Well, let's leave it on a positive note because we're talking kind of, you know, some sad stuff.
Yeah, it got Mark right now.
What's up?
What do you got positive for me?
It's okay, though. It's all good. I mean, dark is okay. But let's leave on a light note. it's not really dark. It's just the reality of life. But what do we got? All right. Let's talk some good stuff.
April 30th.
I got Lucha. April. Okay, let's go in sequence. This Sunday, Lucha Pro is running 132 East Florence Avenue. Kid-friendly, family-friendly. Come on through. DM me for tickets at El Aguaman. ELAGUAMAN on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook as Chaz Herrera. You'll see the hairy dude flying over the top rope. we got five matches this Sunday. They're all one-on-one matches. We have some feuds that may be getting settled, and that's what we got coming up. I also have then just DM me for any questions, any bookings I got, because I got something every week until the big show, which is March 3rd, same place, March 3rd at 6 p.m., I believe the doors open, 132 East Florence Avenue. La Parkas will be there. So La Parka and his sons are going to be there, putting it down in six-man action. They're going to be in the main event. So, again, contact me for tickets. El Aguaman, it's a G, not a Q. Somehow I'll literally be like El Aguaman, and people will still look up El Aquaman.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but they're just so used to that Jason Momoa guy. You know, and so, and then we got the WrestleCon coming up.
Yeah.
The dates on that was March 30th, 31st,
March
30th? Right? 29th, 30th, 31st. Was it?
It was the 31st to April 2nd, I think you said, right?
Well, we'll get clarification. Look up. They can contact you on that, right?
Sonya? Yeah. Yep.
Can we hit you up on that? Look up Sonya. On
Bash 00420. That's the best place to find me.
Hey, there we go. And then
Angelica at my name is Turk Ferguson for Instagram.
Turd Ferguson. I'm going to ask you about that next time. I got to head to this spot where I'm going to step into the Vavoom and do my thing here. But
okay.
And then
right,
we
have
April
night.
30th, which is one more thing. The April 30th UWC show returns. April 30th at the Metroflex in the Hawaiian Gardens, California. So we'll be there. Keep checking for updates and news regarding that. And if nothing else, I guess I'll make my way out of here. Thank you, ladies. It was a pleasure talking with you guys. And hopefully
you have a good
night,
Jeff.
See you on Monday.
Bye.
Okay, Sonya. Bye, Jello.
Bye. Good night.